This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. We are together here for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time to recap everything we saw on a doubleheader to end out Monday Night Football in week number 14 of this NFL regular season. The night of the underdog in the doubleheader of Monday Night Football. We'll break down everything that we saw, where the NFL stands following 14 weeks, entering the final 4 weeks of this 18-week regular season, the last month of the regular season around the National Football League, around the association we will go. A check-in on college hoops, and Shohei Ohtani might not be as rich as we all thought, Donnie Wrightside.
Yeah, or maybe an embarrassment of riches where he has so much money he doesn't even care about how much he makes or when he actually gets it into his pockets here. But if you like NFL actions that close and also upsets, boy, you came to the right place because the NFL is on tilt right now and I love it.
The night of the underdog, a rarity at this stage of the NFL season, in the 14th week of the regular season, to see not one but two games on Monday Night Football. And they did not disappoint, despite having some hefty spreads pregame. We start with what happened in Miami. The miracle the Tennessee Titans pulled off, down by two touchdowns with about 5 minutes remaining in the fourth and final quarter. Tennessee comes all the way back to pull off the stunner, winning outright as a 14-point underdog at close, 28-27. Overcoming two costly fumbles, a muff punt, and then a botched toss to Derrick Henry on a pitch play. No matter. Will Levis leads a comeback for the Titans. They pull off the upset. They win outright as a two-touchdown underdog. And before I toss it over to you, Donnie, let's bring in that Sports Grid radio audience here. The opening hour of a Tuesday, live on the Early Line on Sports Grid, Sirius XM, channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. He is Donnie. I am Ben. The night of the underdog on a Monday night started with a miracle in Miami. Tennessee pulls off the improbable, winning outright as a two-touchdown underdog, 28-27. Over the Dolphins.
We were all expecting yesterday, saying, all right, the Dolphins will pick up that win, get 10 wins, and be in first place here in the AFC. So if the season would have ended after that game and the Dolphins won, they would be the number one overall seed. Didn't work out. But you know, I got a kick out of two. Finally, the party people, analytics guys out there that saw, like, why do you go for two down 14 points? It actually worked for once in our lives. Yep. To see it play out where it was the right decision and the Tennessee Titans won in regulation and didn't have to go into overtime against a better football team where we know underdogs will typically go to die. That was a great performance by the Titans there. Will Levis, fantastic. DeAndre Hopkins, 7 for 124. But also, if you look at the Miami Dolphins, is Tyreek Hill really the MVP of that team? I think so now.
Four receptions, 61 yards for Tyreek. That is going to hurt his chase to Calvin Johnson's single season record of 1,964 receiving yards. It puts Tyreek back. A ton of market movement based on the upset in South Florida. But there was an upset at MetLife as well. The Green Bay Packers, over a $2 favorite entering Monday Night Football to see the postseason, riding a three-game win streak into MetLife, met Tommy DeVito and the Klan last night. The New York Giants come back in the final minutes. A game-winning field goal off the right leg of Randy Bullock has a victory for New York. 24-22. The Giants win outright, Donnie, as a 5.5-point home underdog.
Made the right plays at the right time. Tommy DeVito, 17 of 21 from the pocket, very efficient, only threw for 158 yards, but one touchdown, no interceptions. But how about this? 10 carries for 71 yards for DeVito to move the chains here. That was a nice win for the New York Giants. Even though, look, the fans are appreciative. It's a fun story, but my goodness, you're winning football games here, destroying your future draft pick in a quarterback-rich draft. So it's fun to win, it is, but the New York Giants getting their franchise guy next year, going up in smoke right now.
But now they're only a game back of the playoff race in the NFC, looking for that third and final NFC wild card spot. Tommy DeVito leading that game-winning drive. The Giants got the ball back with only a minute and 33 seconds. It seemed as though the Packers would make it four in a row and be firmly into that NFC wild card conversation. We'll look at everything around the NFL following week number 14, where both conferences stand for the playoff outlook and the individual races coming your way in just a few. But we saw a record-breaking deal, Donnie, over the weekend. Shohei Ohtani signing a 10-year deal worth $700 million with the Los Angeles Dodgers. We knew there were going to be record deferments as well that passed the buck down the road. The Dodgers wouldn't have such a hefty collective bargaining tax, and they could go out and make some moves. We didn't realize it would be this hefty of deferrals. $680 million of the $700 million will be paid to Shohei Ohtani following his 10-year deal. That means on annual average salary, Shohei's making $2 million a year to play for the Dodgers.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very team-friendly deal, but also thinking about how much money Shohei Ohtani makes off the field, where $75 or $70 million dollars a year. Yeah, don't worry about that. I'll get that on the back end here. My initial thoughts when I saw this go down was this is not very good for Major League Baseball. Then Donnie Wrightside put on his handicapping hat and said, you know what? This is fantastic here, because you know what I get so upset, Ben, with in Major League Baseball? The bottom five teams that don't want to spend any money but reap the benefits of the teams that actually try to win World Series and get that luxury tax money here. The fact that the luxury tax was basically cut in half, teams like the Pittsburgh Pirates can't scam as much as they usually do. So I actually love this for Major League Baseball because it forces those owners that cheat the system on a welfare check not going to get a bigger check this year. I love that fact.
And if you are thinking, hey, is there any way for MLB to block what is clearly such a favorable deal for the Dodgers to have the best player in the sport only play for $2 million a year? Nope. The collective bargaining agreement clearly shares that you can defer however much money you want in a contract. Move over, Bobby Bonilla. It is Shohei Ohtani's time. Now, make that 20 in a row in the association, but not in a good way. The Detroit Pistons, Donnie, have now lost 20 consecutive games, 20 straight losses for Detroit. Last night at home, the Pacers win by 8. They cover as a 7.5-point road favorite.
Yeah, Monty Williams here. I think there's probably going to wind up in class action court for a lawsuit against fraudulent head coaches here, making that much money, providing absolutely nothing to their franchise that was hoping to have a good basketball season this season. What a disaster. By the way, I think the line closed around 7.5, so tough beat here. Yeah. Not only did they not win the game, you don't even get the cover for the fans here. Tough scene, Monty Williams. You were brought in to make a playoff run, and it looks like you're brought in for an absolute dumpster fire right now.
Detroit only has covered four times in this 20-game skid. Quarterback news all around the NFL, present and future. Kenny Pickett out once again for the Steelers. Mitchell Trubisky will start on Saturday in Indianapolis. The Steelers, a 2.5-point underdog. No Justin Herbert on Thursday night for LA. Maybe no Justin Herbert the rest of the year. Surgery likely on that fractured index finger on his right throwing hand. And Drake May is foregoing the rest of his collegiate eligibility. North Carolina's quarterback quarterback has declared for the 2024 NFL Draft, he might be the number one overall pick, at least top five. Monday Night Football recaps up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A doubleheader of Monday Night Football to end out week number 14 of the 2023 NFL regular season. A rarity again. It is not often the occurrence to see two Monday Night Football games at this stage of the National Football League calendar. But if we're going to have a doubleheader, at least make it exciting. And it was the night of the underdog in both games on Monday night. First in Miami. I say first in the order that we go through it here on the early line, but not actually first. The game started at the exact same time, 8:15 p.m. Eastern time. But first, the miracle and the magic in Miami, but not for the Dolphins, for the Tennessee Titans, who closed, Donnie, as a 14-point road underdog. And when we entered the fourth quarter, Tennessee actually had a 13-10 lead. The Dolphins got a field goal early on in the first minute and a half or so of that fourth and final stanza. 13-13 for one of the most explosive offenses in the NFL in Miami, and a total at 45 and a half that worked its way down, and the market seemed correct. And then a scoring bonanza down the stretch. Two costly turnovers for Tennessee. A muff punt, a botched pitch out to Derrick Henry from Will Levis that was recovered by Miami. Two short fields. The Dolphins take advantage with two Raheem Mostert touchdowns. They were up by 14, maybe even about to push or cover on that spread with about 5.5 minutes remaining. And then Will Levis happened. Two touchdown drives for Tennessee to come all the way back and not just cover, but win outright in South Florida, 28-27. What a wild Monday night it was. The Titans win as a 14-point underdog by one, and that two-point conversion on the first touchdown for Mike Vrabel and Tennessee pays tremendous dividends.
It did pay tremendous dividends. And how about the way this game went, too? Let's imagine if you're a bettor, and all yesterday, it was roughly 13 and a half all day long. You say, let me take a swing on the Titans. Boy, you are feeling good. At down seven after one, that's fine. You're up at the half. You have a lead 13-10. The game is tied up. You're like, this is going exactly the way I wanted to. And you have two gifted turnovers inside the red zone of your opponent here, picking up easy touchdowns. Like, this is embarrassing. I can't believe I'm going to lose the wager, let alone thinking the Tennessee Titans could come all the way back and win this game outright. Will Levis, 23 of 38. And also, when you just take a look at the box scores, I'm saying yesterday before the game, look, the only way that the Tennessee Titans are going to be able to keep this close is be really effective on the ground. Yeah, sure, they ran it 29 times, but for 83 yards, which is only 2.9 yards per carry. Conversely, the Miami Dolphins, 31 carries for a buck 51, 5.1 yards per carry. How the heck did the Dolphins lose this football game? Well, I'll tell you why. Tyreek Hill is so dynamic and spreads so much fear into your defense that you have to double cover him, triple coverage, roll coverage to his side. Everybody else is wide open. You saw Tyreek Hill go down in that first quarter, and while he was out for remaining parts of the second and some of the third quarter, the Dolphins couldn't get anything going on offense because you have that elite wide receiver that keeps the top, or takes the top, excuse me, off of the defense here. I was so impressed with that comeback last night, but it's more of an indictment on the Miami Dolphins, what we think of them, because we were figuring, okay, now's their chance to take the next step with the Kansas City Chiefs taking a loss here. You can win last night in a game you're supposed to win by going away with an easy one and be in first place in the AFC, and that top spot is going to be yours. Now you got a lot of thinking, is Tyreek Hill's ankle going to be okay, and what happens to Miami Dolphins psyche down the stretch here? But the Titans back in the playoff race, who would have thought that?
Everybody in the AFC seems in the playoff race. Wow. Tennessee at 5-8, though, two games back of the six teams right now at 7-6, following 14 weeks, all contending for the final two AFC wildcard spots. A very, very, very large uphill climb for Tennessee at this moment. But Will Levis outdueled Tua Tagovailoa. 325 yards for Levis, despite a couple of costly turnovers. turnovers in that football game. His passing yards prop, 205 and a hook, but the connection with DeAndre Hopkins, 7 grabs for D-Hop, 124 yards and a touchdown, was pivotal last night. When we look at the other side of things, because we highlight what Tennessee does, right? They are now 5-6 against the spread as an underdog this year. They've won a few times outright. Under Mike Vrabel, they've been a very good underdog, 30-22-1 ATS, dating back to when Vrabel took over control of this Titans organization at the start of 2018. But the story and the major implications and the question marks now are for Miami. A 9-4 football team where entering last night, Donnie, 8 of the 9 wins Miami had covered. 8 of those 9 wins against teams below 500, which is what Tennessee was entering last night. And being a double-digit or 2-touchdown favorite is not something the Finns were unaccustomed to. That was their 7th game last year as north of a TD favorite, and they were 5-1 against the number in those 6 previous games. It was a disaster for the Dolphins because, Donnie, to your point, had Miami just simply beaten the Tennessee Titans, and they had a 2-touchdown lead under 5 minutes remaining in regulation, had Miami simply won outright, they would have improved to 10-3, and with a 7-2 conference record after a win over the Titans, an AFC opponent, of course, they would have had a better conference record than that of Baltimore. And at this juncture, entering the final month of regular season action, the Miami Dolphins would have been the number one overall seed in the AFC. That is not the case. That's the Ravens. They're the number one seed in the AFC. A crushing blow to the Finns that have a difficult schedule remaining here down the home stretch. That was a critical game for postseason positioning that Miami coughed up.
It certainly was, because Baltimore technically has the toughest schedule remaining in the NFL. They got to play San Francisco, Miami, Jacksonville, and Pittsburgh here, which is a grind. But also, now you take a look at the Miami Dolphins after blowing that football game last night. Third toughest schedule left in the NFL with the Dallas Cowboys, Baltimore Ravens, and the Buffalo Bills. Also, one of their easier opponents, as we like to say, is the Jets now with Zach Wilson, right, a competent-looking quarterback. So no longer a walkover game there. That was a tough scenario last night. And also, let's remember this. If you're out there and you use Twitter and you have fun with it, I'm sure you see a wrestling meme here where the casket is brought out, they pop it open, the Undertaker sits up. You know who the Undertaker is right now? That's the Buffalo Bills getting life back, not to make the playoffs, but a legitimate chance now to win the AFC East, something that was going to be a foregone conclusion after the game last night where the Dolphins should have won easy. Wild times for the Miami Dolphins. How quickly you can ride high and then all of a sudden have so many question marks on your season the rest of the way.
Because of how difficult the schedule is for the Finns, the third hardest schedule left in the National Football League, including a Week 18 regular season finale in South Florida against Buffalo, the division is maybe up for grabs. Miami's still greater than a $4 favorite at minus 430. But the Dolphins, Donnie, were facing two teams under 500 on their schedule. Last night against Tennessee, this upcoming Sunday at home against New York. Entering Monday Night Football, it was a 12.5 point spread in favor of Miami. Now it's just 8.5 as we get ready for Week 15 and that Sunday slate. The Finns host Gangrene. And it was the individual market movement as well. Injury concern around Tyreek Hill and a poor performance out of Tua Tagovailoa. He did fumble the football as well and was sacked on that final play as they tried to make that comeback drive in the final minute. Only 240 yards, well under his passing yards prop. Entering last night, Donnie, Tua was tied for the third best price to win the NFL MVP at 8-1, alongside Lamar Jackson and Philly's Jalen Hurts. Tyreek Hill was right behind at 10-1 after only 4 grabs on 5 targets for 61 yards. The chase for history to surpass Calvin Johnson's 1964 single season record, 1,964 receiving yards. That takes a big hit as well. Both Tua Tagovailoa and Tyreek Hill see their prices to win the MVP get much longer on this Tuesday.
And they should have. And by the way, last night, watching that football game late, I saw Derrick Henry score. I'm like, man, you probably should have taken a knee at the 1 yard line, then maybe pushed it in the end zone to run that clock down. You had your chance for your quote unquote Heisman moment, MVP moment for Tua Tagovailoa to lead his team on a comeback there. Wasn't able to do it. That's a big shot to those MVP odds. Big time play. He wasn't able to make that last night.
Tyreek Hill and Tua Tagovailoa, both now at 20-1, both seeing their prices at least double for Tua. It's a little bit more than that. The Monday night upset in MetLife. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The night of the underdog in the doubleheader on Monday Night Football to end out week number 14. First in Miami, the Titans win outright as a 2-touchdown underdog, down by 2 scores, under 5 minutes remaining, 28-27 over the Dolphins. Another comeback in MetLife, led by Tommy DeVito. They get the football back with about a minute and a half remaining. Tommy DeVito and the connection with Wandale Robinson proved true once again, and Randy Bullock, a 37-yard field goal as time expires to give the New York Giants a victory. 24-22 for the G-men, winning outright as a 5.5-point underdog at home over Green Bay. Plenty of ramifications from that football game in terms of the NFC wildcard race, but like Miami on Monday night in South Florida, the Packers coughing up what would have been a golden opportunity, Donnie, to solidify where they stand in that wild card chase. Now, so many more teams in the running for that third and final spot as the Giants win outright for a third consecutive game as an underdog.
Yeah, good for the Giants this year, playing meaningful football, which means, number one, that Brian Daboll has not lost the locker room, which a lot of NFL teams do when it looks like they're down and out for the count and moving on to roughly a third-string quarterback who early in his NFL career, which again is only this year, looked like he was in way over his head. But learning on the job, getting a solid ground attack here, Wink Martindale's defense stepping up and making plays when they need to, which means you don't have to rely on Tommy DeVito here to throw 50 times in a football game and hope to win. It was perfect last night. 17 of 21, very efficient, move the sticks, use your legs when you have a chance, and he did exactly that. That's a really good win for the Giants for this season, but not a really good win for the future here because you're looking for draft position. And yes, I understand. Hey, look, the Giants have a legitimate chance to make the playoffs. No, they don't. The Eagles are going to stomp them out two of these final four football games here, so they have no chance. The only chance they have is dropping from the 7th pick to the 11th pick to the 15th pick to the 23rd pick. That's the only thing that they're going to be gaining, which is actually a negative here. More wins means less draft position in a season where you have to pick a franchise guy. He's a great story. It's fun to talk about Tommy DeVito, but at the same time, he's really sabotaging the franchise.
Well, when you think about what they're doing right now, providing some thrills for a franchise that last year made the postseason, won a road playoff game, but this year obviously fell very short of expectation all around Daniel Jones, who of course was injured for the remainder of this season. It's why the Giants very early on in this campaign were already forecasting the future. And to Donnie's point, the Giants have the second hardest schedule remaining in the National Football League. Two games in their final four against Philadelphia, and then matchups against the Rams and the Saints, who are also both 6-7, now like Green Bay, squarely in that wild card chase for the third and final spot, or maybe the final two spots in that NFC wild card positioning. As we look at Green Bay, though, booked as a favorite for just the second time all year. 5.5 points, the line working against them by the time we got the kick last night in MetLife. A disappointing effort out of Jordan Love and that Green Bay Packers offense. He goes under 225.5 for his passing yards prop. In the 3-game win streak for Green Bay, Donnie, Jordan Love was clean. 7 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Last night, a pick, also fumbled the football as well. 3 turnovers for Green Bay, tough to overcome. On the other side, Tommy DeVito was clean. No interceptions, no fumbles. There was a late fumble by one Saquon Barkley that seemed as though it was going to result in a Packers win and maybe solidifying a postseason berth. That did not happen as the New York Giants were able to come back. Again, 1:33. Tommy DeVito leads that game-winning drive for the game-winning field goal by Randy Bullock, 37 yards as time expires. But like Miami at home, Green Bay on the road in MetLife, really letting or not taking advantage of what would have been a golden opportunity to hold on and win a football game for their playoff positioning.
Yeah, and just make a stop at the end of the football game. You were handed that game on a platter with the fumble by Saquon Barkley, and you weren't able to hold on. Yeah. Now, this game, you take a look at both wide receiving cores. It's basically a mix of who he play for. Is that guy actually a real player that's coming up on my screen? Kraft, Dobbs, Reed, Toure, Taylor, Wicks, Heath, Robinson, Hodgkin, or Hodgins, yeah. Bellinger, Slayton. I mean, come on now. This is a game that we probably expected to go under the 37 and goes over there because why? You got competent football out of the Giants. It's another one of those games. How are the Giants going to win? Well, play measured football, run the football, see how it works out. The Titans were supposed to do that. They actually ended up with a very good passing attack, and Tommy DeVito is not supposed to be a great passer. In the biggest moments of the game was connecting with Wandell Robinson to move the football downfield in order to get that final field goal, which they did. That's again, I do a lot of props here for the Giants. You could easily fold your tent the rest of the season by saying Tommy DeVito is going to be our starting quarterback, which again, you do have a healthy backup quarterback in Tyrod that was ready to come back and go, hey, you know what? I really wish I didn't get hurt and lose my job, but Tommy DeVito's playing good football. Back him up and help him out here, and it's certainly showing here. DeVito's been a competent quarterback here in the NFL, but still no excuses. The Green Bay Packers came in hot here, looking to pick up another victory and say, you know what? Forget about just making the playoffs. Can we chase down the Detroit Lions? That's gone at this point, and now the Packers on the outside looking in like, oh, no, we cost ourselves a big opportunity, and they did.
Yeah. Donnie, to your point, Saquon Barkley as well, over 15 and a half rush attempts. Yeah. He had 20 last night for 86 and two scores. A very costly fumble late in the fourth quarter, but the Giants ultimately do prevail. Tommy DeVito only threw for 158 yards, but as DRS said at the beginning of the show, 10 carries, 71 yards on the ground, utilizing some of that athleticism to put the Giants in key scoring opportunities. Jordan Love, who had gone over 225, 25 and a half and six consecutive games, stays under last night. The three-game win streak for the Packers comes to a close. The Giants have been booked as an underdog in 11 straight games. This year, in 12 of their 13, the dog as well. 5-6-1 ATS, but their last three covers, also three outright victories. A total of 37 skies over. We saw both Monday night football games somehow, some way, go over their pregame totals. That's two primetime overs, despite the fact we went under on Sunday night football. Three of the four primetime games this week, week 14, go over. All three last week in week number 13 go over. Are we seeing a change of the trend of NFL primetime unders entering the final month of this NFL regular season? The one only other time the Packers were booked as a favorite this year, a 3.5-point favorite for Sunday in November against Brett Rypien in the LA Rams. Green Bay won by 17. They covered. Because of that head-to-head victory at this moment, Donnie, that's what's keeping the Packers in the seventh and final NFC playoff spot, that third and final NFC wildcard spot at this current juncture. They're at full game behind their divisional foe, the Minnesota Vikings, who sit there in the second spot. Really, I think it's a conversation for all of the teams in the hunt for those final two spots, because whoever ultimately does not win the NFC East divisional crown will be that top wildcard team, either Dallas or Philadelphia. The Cowboys in that position right now. The Birds have the easiest schedule remaining in the National Football League, still greater than a $3 favorite to win the NFC East at this moment. But really, it's a competition for those final two NFC wildcard spots entering the final month of this NFL regular season.
Yeah, and Green Bay really did themselves a disservice, because when we take a look at the Eagles with the easiest schedule, guess who's 31st on there? That's the Green Bay Packers, and that doesn't include last night's game, which has already been over. Tough games coming up, if you want to say it. The Minnesota Vikings, maybe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because they're fighting for the NFC South, but then you have the Carolina Panthers and the Chicago Bears, but the Bears playing much better football here, maybe not indicative of what their record actually is. You pick up a win last night for the Green Bay Packers, you are full steam ahead, and you might be able to run the table here, but more questions pop up, and maybe it's just, when do we get Christian Watson back at wide receiver so we can get some of those deep threats going? But anytime you see a speed receiver damaged with a hamstring injury, good luck getting him back and relying on him here. Let's see if Jordan Love can pull this team back up here, because everything was in front of him. Now it's a little bit more murkier.
Last night, entering the football game as a 5.5-point road favorite against the New York Giants, the Packers were greater than a $2 favorite, minus 210, to see the NFC playoffs. Now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the updated number has Green Bay missing the playoffs. Minus 128 to the no, plus 104 to the yes. That is how drastically disappointing Green Bay was last night in New York. Donnie, these wild card races, and we'll continue to evaluate them now entering the final month of this NFL regular season throughout this Tuesday show, are going to be insane. There are six teams in the AFC with a 7-6 overall record at this point, jockeying for the final few spots in the AFC wildcard chase. There are also six teams with a 6-7 overall record in the NFC, including all three teams in the NFC South. Tampa Bay at the moment has the tiebreaker to give them that first place position in the division and what would be that divisional title. But there are five teams in the wildcard race, all battling for the final spot, only a game behind Minnesota for the second of three NFC wildcard spots, all in the thick of it. I don't remember a time where we entered this part of December, Donnie, in the In the Hunt graphics, as we have showed, have featured so many teams with a realistic shot of seeing the NFL playoffs.
Yeah, Week 18 is going to be unbelievable this year in the NFL when typically it's like, hey, one game matters. Which game we're going to move the prime time because nothing really matters. You're going to have multiple games here, which means a heavy slate of these teams kicking off at the same time. Take a look at the top five here in the NFC. 49ers, Cowboys, Lions, Buccaneers, and Eagles. Let's just keep the Buccaneers in there because somebody has to win the South, yeah, and they're going to be that four seed. But after that, the Minnesota Vikings, Green Bay Packers, Rams, Seahawks, Falcons here. I'm going to tell you right now, watch out for the Los Angeles Rams because I think they're the best of the rest here once you get after that top five. Tough loss for them in Baltimore. They still see that silver lining in the clouds. They're like, you know what? We can make the playoffs here. Let's just stay healthy. Kyren Williams coming back to that offense. Big deal here. Let's see how it factors down the stretch.
The Rams plus 184 to make the NFC playoffs. Plenty more around the National Football League following week 14. Now around the association.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. Now we go around the association on this Tuesday to look back on a night in the NBA where we saw some historic losing streaks continue. But we go first to a matchup of Western Conference teams where one was in Las Vegas for the first ever in-season tournament semifinals. The other entered last night with the best record out West and the best record in the NBA. It was a bounce-back performance for the New Orleans Pelicans. At home in the Big Easy, winning by 14, 121-107. Donnie, on the show yesterday, both you and I looked at the line and said the Timberwolves, the best team in the association, catching 3.5 points on the road against a Pels team that looked like it partied too hard in Las Vegas over the weekend. Well, the line worked even more in favor of New Orleans at home, and they cover as a 4-point home favorite, winning 121-107.
It's a wild sport there where we come on today and we try to set the table for the NBA and see what's going to happen. And absolutely nobody knows anything because the value of the regular season is certainly diminished. And this is the NBA that everybody took off on Sunday here. And you say, well, okay, Minnesota Timberwolves, they should be in good gear here. The New Orleans Pelicans are in Las Vegas. But Anthony Edwards doesn't show up here in the starting lineup for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And down it goes from there. So when you're trying to say like, hey, who's going to play tonight, who's not, and pick those winners, yeah, there's a reason sometimes you just have to read the line. Because apparently they know ahead of time who's possibly going to play in that game. But you don't even know the lineups till like an hour before game time in order to make your decisions here, whether it's going to take a prop or whether it's just going to take a side in a basketball game. So it made sense when you see the final score this morning, 121-107, because Minnesota Timberwolves were a half of a starting lineup in that game and on the road. And apparently one of those games like, it's no big deal. We'll take the loss and move on.
Anthony Edwards was listed as questionable entering the game in the Big Easy, did not play. Karl Anthony Towns, 17 points, 12 boards to lead the starters for Minnesota. But the conversation really, Donnie, on the other side. New Orleans now 5-2 against the spread as a home favorite. And there has been a ton of conversation around one Zion Williamson, his weight, his conditioning, his diet. After a no-show performance out of the Pels in the semifinals of the IST this past Thursday, that conversation ramped up just a little bit on a Monday morning. Maybe some other sports media members were saying a ton about what Zion Williamson does off the basketball court and in the dining establishments of New Orleans, Louisiana. So, last night at home, Zion Williamson reminded people why he is still a supreme NBA talent. 36 points, a game high last night for the Pels, 13 of 17 from the floor. He was joined by Brandon Ingram, who had 20 points in that starting lineup, and CJ McCollum, who had 23 points as well. But a real big bounce back performance, even for mentality and to quiet the murmurs for Zion Williamson last night.
Yeah, and if you forget about the box score, 36 points, 13 of 17, 10 of 12 from the free throw line, that was all fantastic. But if you watch the highlights here, that was the Zion that we always hoped that we would get on a night-to-night basis. Quick twitch muscles, absolutely fast around the rim, making moves, going up, doing whatever he wants to do, which is a lot what we saw at Duke. It's one of those players that just enjoy him while he's here, because obviously it's apparent he doesn't take the game seriously enough to stay in shape here, and we all know how that works out. You take a look at a guy like LeBron James, who does every single thing right on the court and off the court to help himself and his body, the maturation process, to be a professional for a long time. Zion's not going to be a pro for a long time. He's fun right now. He won't be a lot of fun in 2 to 3 years.
Oh, goodness. You just slandered that good man and everything he stands for. If LeBron spends $1 million annually on his upkeep and his health and his bodily routine, Zion Williamson might spend $1 million elsewhere. Okay, let's be nice here, right? That was my point. Beignets are pretty tough to come by in New Orleans. Point. As we look at Minnesota, despite the loss last night, the Timberwolves now 3-3 both straight up and against the spread as an underdog this year. And again, even with the loss, they entered 17-4 in their overall record. Now 17-5, still technically the best win percentage and record in the National Basketball Association. In the NBA, the Boston Celtics, that best record in the Eastern Conference at 16-5, trailing the T-Wolves by a game in the win column. That outlook, though, for Minnesota this year, I think is high. They had some expectation last year. They were the 8th seed. They got run in a gentleman's sweep by the eventual NBA champion, the Denver Nuggets. But this year, trying to build on that momentum with a solid young core, and we didn't see him last night, but Anthony Edwards' game is on the up and up here in 2023-24.
Yeah, we're not panicking here from that loss for the Minnesota Timberwolves. They were 17-4 coming into that basketball game. Now sit at 17-5. Just stay healthy the rest of the way. You have one of the premier young superstars in the game on your roster and a complete roster, Ben, right? You got a solid point guard veteran there. You got the scoring you need, and you also have the defensive presence down low. This is a team that can go far in the playoffs here. Just got to keep them healthy on the court.
I will be fascinated to see, because even before the year got underway, the week leading into this NBA season, it was clear the odds makers expected the conferences and the eventual NBA champion to come from a group of four teams, a pair out east, Milwaukee and Boston, and a duo out west, Phoenix and Denver. And that's still the case when you look at the odds. The Timberwolves have the best record in the association. The best record then, of course, in the Western Conference. Minnesota is now 11-1 to win the Western Conference championship, but they are still well behind where both Denver and Phoenix are. The Nuggets, the short favorites, plus 220. Phoenix, less than a dollar behind at plus 310. The Los Angeles Lakers, who we'll talk about in just a little bit, plus 950. The Lakers are the only other team with a triple-digit price outside of the Nugs and the Suns, and it's over a $6 drop-off to them. To everybody else in the Western Conference, quadruple digits, 11-1 or longer. Maybe the odds makers are going to be spot on, or maybe there is going to be tremendous value elsewhere in those conference championship odds. As we keep it rolling now to the Eastern Conference, one of those surprising teams in the first quarter of this NBA regular season, the Orlando Magic. A victory last night as the favorite at home, winning by double digits over the Cleveland Cavaliers. 104-94 for the Magic, covering as a 2-point home favorite this year as the favorite side, Donnie. Orlando now 8-1 against the spread, an average margin in that cover percentage of 9.7 points per game.
Yeah, we had a good game at the half here. And then you see that third quarter where the defense really kicked it up a notch for the Orlando Magic, holding the Cleveland Cavaliers to 15 points. The Cleveland Cavaliers, I expected to be a better basketball team coming into the season. Are they bad? No, not necessarily, Ben. 13-10 overall, but I like what I see out of the Magic. 16-7, and also a young core getting it together. And each and every night, you're getting an honest effort out of Paolo Banchero, another 20-point performance, which it seems like he's doing on a night-to-night basis now. It's a good young basketball team. And also, Ben, how many times do we take a look at defending your home court? The Orlando Magic improved to 11-2 now. That's pretty impressive.
As we look at it, Donnie, when you look at the Eastern Conference, three teams at the top that we expected, all with 15 wins or more, the Celtics 16-5, the Bucks 16-7, the Philadelphia 76ers 15-7. And then the Orlando Magic, also at 16-7, tied for that second best record out East. Again, 8-1 against the number at home, or not even at home, as the favorite this year. Paolo Banchero did have 8 turnovers, but 20 points and 10 rebounds. Shout out our guy, Tom Vecchio, by the way. We didn't mention it in the Monday Night Football breakdowns, but Tajay Spears went well over his receiving yards prop of 14.5 for the Titans. He had 86 through the air on Monday Night Football, and he also highlighted Franz Wagner over 5.5 rebounds. Wagner ended up with 8. Now, from the good to the bad, Detroit has lost 20 consecutive games. This line moved a little bit yesterday, but Indiana did close as a 7.5 point road favorite in the Motor City. They win by 8, 131-123. But the story is Detroit. They won 2 of their first 3 games in this NBA season and have not won again since. 20 consecutive losses, and they paid Monty Williams $12 million a year to bring this Detroit Pistons core up. That's a great photo in the B-roll montage of, I believe, Cade Cunningham face-planting into the hardwood. That is a representation and an analogy for what we are seeing out of the Pistons at this point.
Absolutely brutal at this point. And you say to yourself, okay, you had 131 points here scored by the Indiana Pacers. Oh, Haliburton, how are you going to stop him? What do you have, 40, 45 points? No, he had 14 points last night. You actually had a guy come off the bench here in Mathurin, drop 30 points for the Indiana Pacers. But that's an embarrassing effort here for the Pistons, because I thought they would lose that game. But I'm saying, no, come on. Home court, stay within the number. They just missed out by the hook at that point. But the greater good here for the Detroit Pistons is, I guess, no longer trying to win anymore. 2-20. You're not making the playoffs here, so smart NBA franchises, Ben, what do they do? They go into ultimate tank mode. The goal for the Pistons the rest of the way is, I guess, don't win another basketball game and get as many ping pong balls as you can possibly get. But I think the point that you're bringing up here, you had a basketball team that you said to yourself, you know what? It's now time to hit the gas pedal. Are we going to challenge for an NBA championship or an Eastern Conference title? No, but it's time to start getting back into the playoffs here. Let's go on what we think is the best coach we can possibly get to mold this young core on a way up. And they're absolutely crashing and burning. And you're not getting any from ownership going like, okay, well, what do we want? 4-year contract here for $15 million total for a coach. We'll just see what he gets. No, you actually set the record for giving this coach more money than anybody else until Pop came along a little bit later and secured that bag with the San Antonio Spurs. Unbelievable, embarrassing franchise here with a head coach that's making money that's supposed to get you into a top 6 seed here in the East.
I said the words on this very program following Detroit winning 2 of their first 3 games. Maybe this Monty Williams guy can lead the Pistons to an Eastern Conference playoff spot. Man, that was bad of me. 20 straight L's for Detroit. They've only covered 4 times in that span. 20 straight losses for Detroit. Indiana, by the way, back to the overs. They had gone under in 3 straight quarters, semis, championship game in the NBA in-season tournament. Over 247.5 last night. That's what the Pacers do. 30 points off the bench for the second year pro, the man that makes me want to change my first name from Benjamin to Benedict. That was Benedict Mathurin off the bench for Indiana. 20 straight losses for the Pacers. 20 straight losses for the Pistons, 17 consecutive losses now for the San Antonio Spurs. To your point, maybe don't pay any coach any money, because it's not going to result in overall wins, as the Spurs last night in a very low-scoring basketball game elsewhere in Texas lose by 11. Houston victorious 93-82 over San Antonio.
Yeah, tough season going on there. But again, you're looking for the future here. Let's just say Victor Wembanyama is going to give you 15, 18, and 5 every night as a rookie. You'll take that here. And also, you'll take those losses because it means those lottery balls also are going to get bigger and bigger for you. And maybe you can take down another number one overall pick that can help your franchise. The Spurs season here is not, you know, the Detroit Pistons coming out. We're supposed to win this year. We were supposed to take our lumps for the Spurs and say, you know what? The goal is not to win basketball games. Let's see what we have in Wembanyama. Let's reevaluate this roster. Let's get another high draft pick, and away we go into the future here where you can try to win basketball games. Tough scene only scoring 82 points, but if Wemby's going to have performances like that, you'll take those losses.
Yes. 15 points, 18 boards, 5 blocks, to your point. However, what we have seen out of Ime Udoka and the Rockets, the antithesis to these young teams struggling in the Pistons and Spurs, Houston's 10-1 at home. They're 11-9 overall. We'll come back here with a discussion of a banner being raised for the in-season tournament up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A championship happened this weekend in the association. The first ever NBA in-season tournament, NBA Cup, went to the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James. And then we learned yesterday, as we got things going on a Monday this week, back live right here on a Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid, that the Lakers plan to hang an in-season tournament championship banner inside Crypto Arena in downtown LA, presumably beside all of their NBA championship banners as well. This is an NBA IST banner that will be just one, and if they happen to win more, they will update with 2023 and 2026 and 2031 for however long we do the IST in the NBA. Donnie, tell us, do you have any issue with the Lakers hanging an NBA in-season tournament championship banner?
No, I don't, because I don't think it's actually the Lakers' choice here. I think they need to show legitimacy for this tournament here. So the NBA is like, damn right, I don't care what you say. That banner will be hung in your arena, and you will do it proudly. And the fact that the Lakers want it, who are all about championships and not just like, hey, let's win the division, or we're the Western Conference championships, they're all about winning it. So it's kind of interesting to see what the Lakers actually feel about hanging it there, but I don't think they had any choice. That banner's going up there because why? The NBA says it's going up there.
That's a pretty good point, Donnie. I would agree with the idea of the placed emphasis on the NBA in-season tournament and what that means for the Lakers. The Lakers have won 17 NBA championships in their long and illustrious franchise history, of course, one of the premier brands in all of the NBA and really sports. So inside Crypto Arena in downtown LA, you'll see all the championship banners, and then you'll see the NBA in-season tournament championship banner as well. You will not see any championship banners for the Los Angeles Clippers, despite 4 straight wins for the Clips in the association. All right, we'll come back in hour number 2. That starts in less than a minute, live right here on this Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. Come back and join us.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as 1 day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.